happening in the world today.
Oh, buddy. Phew, thank goodness. I did not have time for the pre-warm-up, so I'm hoping I'm going out. Looks like everything's green, so we're going to say life is good. Everything's A-okay. Just going to go ahead here and fire up comm. Looks like we always do. Just go ahead here and SSH over to SDF. Then we type comm at the terminal, hit enter, then press G for go to. Comm, then G for go to, and then a non-radio, all lowercase, all together. And boom, you are in the Anon Radio room, and you get to hang out with people like SMJ and me, and, you know, a lot of the regulars like Ratsu and Jazzmez and just the whole crew. X1's usually here too. It's a good day. It's a good time. And I want to be sure and get the name right here. I'm also going through my tea. I've got my tea, my big sampler pack of tea. So today I have Dian Hong Black Tea, grade honey aroma. So I just pulled it. I just steeped it. So it's still way too hot to drink. So maybe by the end of the show I'll get to taste it. Anywho, that's just how it's going with me. We'll go ahead here, launch all our news stories. There is a lot of news, but I'm doing my best to try and trim it back, cut back some of the stories. There's just always so much going on that it's hard to not, you know, want to talk about it all. Something I did miss, thanks, excellent. Something I did miss was that yesterday was Indigenous Peoples Day, so sorry I skipped that. It's not that I was totally ignoring it. We just ran out of time. It was one of the stories. Something you can do, I'm trying to do this week is, oh, welcome, AGK. What I'm trying this week is I got a new plugin called OneTab, and I'm going to just, it creates a nice little single page list of all the links that you have open. So I'm taking that and posting it on Mastodon. I'm MNW at tilde.zone is the Mastodon instance. But you can find it there. And yeah, so then you can read the news. All right, so let's get into it. Of course, we always start with
world news.
The world news. Heck yeah, I'm glad you use it too. So we're going to start with the letter C, Cyprus. This is coming to us from France 24. Cyprus said on Tuesday it'll scrap its controversial golden passport scheme for foreign investors next month over alleged abuses uncovered in a television program. Government spokesman Kyriakos Kousios said the cabinet had agreed in an emergency meeting to abolish the scheme as proposed by the finance and interior ministers. The proposal of the two ministers was based on long-standing weaknesses, abuse, and exploitation of the provisions of the investment program, Kousios said. Kousios said the scheme, which has generated 7 billion euros, would be brought to an end on November 1st. The Cypriot government would fully examine its policy to encourage investment, he added, after the completion of an investigation into the scheme. The move came hours after a Qatar-based broadcaster, Al Jazeera, aired an hour-long program showing its reporters pretending to represent a Chinese businessman keen to acquire a Cypriot passport despite having him a criminal record. Posing as representatives of a fictitious criminal character, our undercover reporters were ushered through the application process for the Cyprus investment program by lawyers, property agents, leading eventually to high-ranking politicians, Al Jazeera reported. Those involved, a Cypriot lawmaker and the parliamentary speaker, denied any wrongdoing. The lawmaker, Christakis Giovannis, later resigned from the parliament and the positions he held in the left-wing AKEL party, it's Alpha Kilo Echo Lima party. And the speaker, Dimitrios Siluris, said he was standing down until a police investigation into the claims was completed. So, very interesting. Glad that they're taking care of it. It's interesting that a expose on Al Jazeera took down such a big program. We go ahead and go into the broader scope of things. The EU here, coming out of Brussels, the European Union on Tuesday won the right to impose tariffs on $4 billion of U.S. goods in retaliation against subsidies for plane maker Boeing, deepening a record trade spat that has already prompted Washington to slap duties on EU imports. The WTO tariff award, which confirms a decision first reported by Reuters on September 30th, threatens to intensify transatlantic trade tensions just 3 weeks ahead of the U.S. presidential election. However, negotiators on both sides say it could lead at last to discussions to resolve a 16-year legal battle over subsidies to aircraft manufacturers Boeing and Airbus. Both the U.S. and the EU have signaled interest in settling the dispute while accusing the other of refusing to talk seriously. So, there we go. That might be good for the EU. That comes from Reuters, however you want to sell it. We'll jump back to France 24. We'll switch back and forth to France 24. I got a couple of stories from them today. This comes from France. Oh, shucks. This appears to be a video story. So, my bad. I just read the headline and the summary, and I thought, oh, that'd be good for the show. But the summary is all you get in text. And that guy says, as in Los Angeles or Beirut, Armenian diaspora in Paris stick together for their homeland. No sooner had the conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh escalated last month than the Armenian community in Paris began mobilizing to send food, medical equipment, and other supplies to the front lines. France 24's Luc Trego, Sylvain Rousseau, and Omar Al-Hamidawi report from Paris. So this is a video report. I don't have the freedom-hating plugin that is necessary to view it, so I don't know how long it is. Sorry, France 24, I really was trusting you there. But it was filed at 1717, which is good luck because many people in my family have birthdays on the 17th of the month. All right, let's jump over to Reuters. We'll try back with them. We'll check back with France 24 in just a second. So Reuters just reporting suspected jihadist killed 25 in central Mali attacks. That's right. So suspected Islamic militants killed 25 people, including 13 soldiers, in multiple attacks in central Mali, burning down an army base and ambushing troops sent as reinforcements, the army and local authorities said on Tuesday. The attacks were the deadliest since the August 18th military coup that overthrew President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita and came just days after scores of jailed militants were freed by the interim government in a prisoner swap. 9 soldiers were killed in the first attack that took place overnight against a base in Sukura near the border with Burkina Faso, an army statement said. So then it goes into the details of the statement. So yeah, good luck, Mali. Mali's been in and out of the news lately, so fingers crossed for them. Staying down in the African continent, we've also got... where is Mali? I'm an American, so my geography's bad. Mali. Google Maps. Or I guess we could do OpenStreetMaps, but let's look at the map. Because this is important, at least to me. So let's see. So Mali, if you think about Africa, all right, I'm thinking about Africa. All right, so the left side, I guess the west coast. On the west coast, you got Algeria, Morocco, there's Mauritania, and then Mali, Niger, and Nigeria. So it's over there. It's south of Algeria, east of Mauritania, and west of Niger. So that gives you an idea of where it is. I am just so bad with geography. I wonder if there's a class a grown-up can take. Or I guess I could just look at the world map more often. Anyway, my bad. Got a little confused on where stuff was and definitely didn't want to mix it up. Going next door, Nigerians stage fresh protests over police brutality. This is a text story from France 24. Thousands of Nigerians took to the streets in a string of cities once again Tuesday for fresh protests against police brutality, bringing roads to a standstill and economic hub of Lagos. Demonstrators organized on social media erupted earlier this month, calling for the abolition of notorious police unit accused of unlawful arrests, torture, and extrajudicial killings. The government gave in to the demand on Sunday, announcing that the Federal Special Anti-Robbery Squad, SARS, was being disbanded in a rare concession to people power in Africa's most populous nation. President Muhammadu Buhari insisted that the move was the first step in extensive police reforms, but many have greeted the announcements with skepticism after previous vows to improve Nigeria's notorious police went unfulfilled and protesters are in the streets to keep up the pressure. Welcome, Ouroboroso. Welcome, welcome. So, yeah, so this is very intense stuff going on. Protesters have called for an independent body to investigate police abuse, according to a list of demands widely spread on social media. But the demonstrations are also channeling anger among the youth over unemployment, economic mismanagement, poverty, and corruption in the oil-rich nation. So, definitely, if you want to learn more, France 24 has your back there. Now, this is one of the fun... This was a story... I don't think I got to it yesterday, but they found a giant World War II, an old World War II bomb in Poland, and, well, they blew it up. So here's the story. This is from the BBC. The largest unexploded World War II bomb ever found in Poland has detonated during the defusing process. Oh, so it wasn't on purpose. The chance the bomb at the bottom of a Baltic Sea shipping channel would detonate had been put at 50-50, and all the divers were unharmed. About 750 residents had been evacuated near the port city of Swinoujscie. I'll put that in chat because I'm probably saying it way wrong. But the raft dropped the Talboy, or earthquake bomb, in a raid in 1945, which sank the German cruiser Lützow. The city name was part of Germany and called Swinemünde. At the time of bombardment. The shock of the latest detonation was reportedly felt in parts of the city, and a video shows the blast throwing up a large column of water into the air. The bomb was 6 meters long and weighed 5.4 tons, nearly half of which was its explosives. The bomb was embedded at a depth of 12 meters, and only its nose was sticking out. Naval forces used a remote control device to try to deflagrate the bomb, a technique that if successful, burns the explosive charge without causing a detonation. The BBC's Adam Easton reports from Warsaw. Hey, Tobe is here! Welcome, welcome. Don't forget, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is on every day, 1930 UTC, here on and on radio. And I'm on at 1900 every Monday through Friday. And so, boom, you get a block of talk. Anyway. Tobe's also the reason that I've been getting into tea. So if I lose my house because I've bought too much tea, you can blame Tobe. Only kidding. All right, let's hurry up and get through this world news because we got to play some music.
I want to hear the music.
Yeah, this voice is in my head. It's just telling me. It's like
I want to hear the music.
I know. I hear it. I hear it. You can feel it. It just happens. It just gets into you. Let's run through these. BBC News was reporting a drone was used. Well, yeah. Sorry. We're going to... Boop, boop, boop. You know what? We're going to save that for when we do the tech stories, because there's a couple tech stories. Boop. Bam. The Guardian's reporting an ex-soldier faces gun ban and fine over illegal prepper training in Germany. So, a German former elite soldier who called himself Hannibal in chat groups is set to be fined and barred from carrying a gun for organizing an illegal prepper training exercise. Mount Yadamat. Ooh. Andre Schmidt, a former member of Germany's Special Forces Command, and 5 members of his network have been issued with penal orders over a civilian combat training session in the southern town of Moschbach in the summer of 2018. The Guardian and the German broadcaster ARD published exclusive drone footage of the illegal exercise at a former German army barracks in December. Oh, man. Can't escape the drones. Internal documents suggest the exercises were part of Commando Pipeline, training designed to produce, in its last phase, combat-ready fighters trained in handling rifles and guns, as well as close combat and urban warfare. So, pretty wild. Hey, Koenig is here. Welcome. And you'll get to listen to DGC. This is exciting. I really enjoy DGC, and Harry Larry had a great show yesterday. Okay, so let's just keep rolling. Something else from The Guardian. This is a sad thing. They've got the climate countdown going as they're counting down and keeping track of the world falling apart. At the end of July, 40% of the 4,000-year-old Milne ice shelf located on the northwestern edge of Ellesmere Island calved into the sea. Canada's last fully intact ice shelf was no more. On the other side of the island, the most northerly in Canada, the St. Patrick's Bay ice caps completely disappeared. 2 weeks later, scientists concluded that the Greenland ice sheet may have already passed the point of no return. Annual snowfall is no longer enough to replenish the snow and ice loss during summer melting. Last year, the ice sheet lost a record amount of ice, equivalent to 1 million metric tons every minute. Just kind of think about that. 1 million metric tons a minute. The Arctic is unraveling, and it's happening faster than anyone could have imagined just a few decades ago. Northern Siberia and Canadian Arctic are now warming 3 times faster than the rest of the world. In the past decade, Arctic temperatures have increased by nearly 1°C. If greenhouse gas emissions stay on the same trajectory, we can expect the North to have warmed by 4°C year-round by the middle of the century. Yeah, we won't even be dead yet when the ice caps have melted. Yeah, and then they have a great infographic kind of showing how that all is going. There is no facet of Arctic life that remains untouched by the immensity of change here, except perhaps the eternal dance between light and darkness. The Arctic as we know it, a vast icy landscape where reindeer roam, polar bears feast, and waters teem with cod and seals, will soon be only in memory. And the story is quite a lot longer. This is one of those long think pieces, but it's definitely worth checking out if you've got the time at theguardian.com. Let's undo that tab. Yeah, theguardian.com. Sometimes there's co.uk. Want to be sure. We went long! Darn it! We do also have a cool story about Machu Picchu and EU agreeing to some travel guides. And I absolutely have to mention this. I'm sorry for you football fans. But Cristiano Ronaldo has tested positive for coronavirus. So the 35-year-old is doing well without symptoms and in isolation. But Portugal faced Sweden in Nations League group game on Wednesday. The remainder of Fernando Santos's Portugal squad have tested negative for COVID-19 and are available for selection. Portugal played out a 0-0 draw with France in Paris on Sunday and are top of the group, level on points with the world champions. So, very sad. We're going to go ahead and play another old song, because that's kind of my thing on here, I think. I like playing older stuff. Anyway, we're going to keep on going with it. I mean, what else are we going to do? You guys know me. I usually play Frank Zappa or Willie Nelson. I don't know. It's just what I do. It's just what I do. I guess it's because I'm 200 years old. This is Frank Zappa and the Mothers. The song is called 200 Years Old.
Sitting in a breakfast room in Allentown, Pennsylvania, 6 o'clock in the morning. Got up too early. It was a terrible mistake. Sitting there face to face with a 75-cent glass of orange juice about as big as my finger and a bowl of horribly foreshortened corn flakes. And I said to myself, this is the life.
So she's 200 years old.
Try to grow a mustache.
Sorry, Frank, we don't got time for the whole song.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. This is news to me. We are only about 7-ish minutes away from the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. This is a great show, super fun. Sometimes you find dudes, sometimes you don't, but there's just always something cool. It's definitely worth checking out, and it may or may not be your cup of tea, but it will be a fun time. It's only 30 minutes. What do we got? Ooh, persecution of Falun Gong. Let's see what we're looking at here. You know what? We don't have time because it's time.
It's time for tech news.
Time for tech news. Yep. Don't forget, we got that drone story that I started to read by mistake. All right, so first up, Reuters is reporting Washington State is seeking $100,000 from Twitter for campaign finance violations. That's right, Twitter Inc. is going to pay $100,000 for failing to meet Washington State's disclosure laws over payments related to multiple political ads that were posted on its platform since 2012. The company failed to maintain the request records for at least 38 Washington candidates and committees that reported paying $194,550 for political advertising on Twitter. We ended all political advertising in November 2019 in line with our belief that the reach of political speech should be earned and not bought, this Twitter spokesperson said. The resolution is reflective of our commitment to transparency and accountability. So there you go. Now let's see here. What else is there? Oh, iPhone 12. Apple appears to leak its own new phone and Apple TV in an iCloud update. Yeah, the announcement just happened, so this is kind of old news, but this came out like 3 hours ago, so it was way early. The leak also gives us new information on Apple TV that could be launched at the same time. It wasn't. The company has uploaded new, smaller icons designed to illustrate the various iPhone 12 devices to the site. The icons support already strong rumors that Apple is planning 4 phones in 3 different sizes. They also give some details on the changes that could arrive during the launch event. While the differences are small, there is a noticeably smaller notch on the new iPhone 12 compared to the 11. The edge of the phone also looked darker rather than the reflective surface on the current icons. Finally, as spotted by the Twitter account, Apple Software Updates, the icons are named iPhone 13.1, iPhone 13.2, iPhone 13.3, and iPhone 13.4. Boom. Pretty interesting, right? So that's happening. Tobe's talking in Morse code. BBC's reporting, here we go, there's a drone used to bust a drug deal in China. That's right. Police in China used a drone to capture footage of an alleged drug deal taking place. The video shared with state-controlled broadcaster CCTV showed the suspects being remotely tailed before officers moved in to make arrests. Reaction on the local social media was divided. Some suggested there was nowhere left to hide. Others said drones should be fitted with weapons to help tackle other cases of criminality. Privacy rights advocates have raised concerns about the speed at which the UK and other Western nations have embraced other forms of surveillance tech. The drone operation led police to an abandoned brick factory in the southern city of Guilin, reported regional media. So, very interesting stuff there. And this I thought was technology, but it wasn't. And so I thought it was funny and I wanted to include it here with you. A bird said to have the aerodynamic build of a jet fighter has been tracked flying more than 12,000 kilometers, that's 7,500 miles, from Alaska to New Zealand, setting a new world record for avian nonstop flight. The bar-tailed godwit set off from southwest Alaska on September 16th and arrived in a bay near Auckland 11 days later, having flown at speeds of up to 55 miles per hour. The male bird, known as 4 Bravo Bravo Romeo Whiskey, in reference to the blue, red, and white rings fitted on its legs, also had a 5-gram satellite tag harnessed on its lower back to allow scientists to track its progress. It's one of 4 to leave together from the Alaskan mudflats, where they had been feeding on clams and worms for 2 months. Yeah, it says, godwit. The bar-tailored godwit. Here, I'm going to put a link in com, and, paste Godwit. Yep. Enter. All right. That will post in com. So it was a bird that flew really far. It wasn't a jet setting a world record, but it was still pretty dang cool. Okay, let's, we've only got like 2 minutes or so before Dubious Goals with Tobe. Oh yeah, I got one more tech story for you. I guess we'll do domestic stories another time later. Oslo police have seized a tuned electric scooter with a top speed of 36 miles per hour. That's right, police in Oslo have seized a tuned electric scooter with a top speed of 58 kilometers per hour, nearly three times the legal limit. The scooter was seized during a control program in Oslo in a joint operation with the Norwegian Public Roads Administration, during which two electric scooters were stopped on suspicion of illegal speeding. The owners face prosecution, police said, but did not say what kind of punishment they could face. Electric scooters can have a maximum top speed of 12.4 miles per hour. Rental scooters have become a common sight in European cities. Some riders have ended up in the hospital emergency rooms with serious injuries, and there have been reports of fatal accidents. So, what did I want to say before the show's over? The e-bike subreddit, if you ever want to get into e-bikes and electric scooters and stuff, they're pretty much on par with motorcycles almost now, and I've seen a video where a kid hooked up two kilowatt motors on the front, one on the front, one on the rear, and he was flying at like 50 something miles an hour on like a Huffy bike. So those things can go fast enough to kill you now, so it's kind of an interesting spot. I'm not sure how to set them up, so yeah. That's the thing, is people want it because they don't have to have a license, but then they soup them up so that they can. They still go as fast. That's kind of it. I wanted to be sure, and I don't want to get in too bad into another one. Just some spare headlines till the music plays. A man in Florida got reinfected a second time. This time it's worse. There's a second COVID trial that paused over unexplained illnesses. Infection rates are threatened to overflow Germany's hospitals. Georgia and Texas. Ah, there it is. Well, there we go. Thanks a lot. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end.
Ooh, that
thanks for listening.
Diane Hong is
I'll be back
really
tomorrow.
Good.
And this every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
It's 1930. Oh, man. Hurry, get the tea.